Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Brother Deacon, would you lead us in prayer this morning?
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day you have given us. Thank you for bringing all your people here to meet you. Now bless us with your presence, Lord. Bring us the healing for a broken body. Bring us soothing for an injured soul. Thank you for your Son and our Savior. And bring your power to Cal as he brings the word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. We are looking at one of the hottest topics in our society today. Sexual immorality. I know y'all can't wait. You couldn't wait to get here to hear that today. But this is the year of freedom. We're getting free in 23. And the stuff that the world experiences, we as well. And if anything's going to get right, the church has got to get right first. And by the way, let me say everything. Let me preface everything I'm going to say. I'm speaking to the church today about sexual immorality. Okay? And it really bothers me when we start talking about how lost people act. Lost people act like lost people. They're in darkness. They cannot handle and understand spiritual truth. And so a lost person's going to act like a lost person is supposed to act. Amen? But a saved person now ought to act differently. And so that's what we're talking about, this unbelievable topic called sexual immorality. Let's stand to our feet as we honor God's word. Somebody's going to get free from immorality today. Amen? Amen. I said somebody's going to get free from immorality this morning. Amen. You need to come to church with a sense of expectation and anticipation. And if you don't think anything's going to happen, guess what? That's right. All right. I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to start up there we're in 1 Corinthians 6. And I want to start in the middle of verse 13. Now the body is not for sexual immorality. Who would say amen? Amen. But for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Isn't that a great reminder? Now jump down to verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Father, would you take now the words that we've read from your holy, inerrant, inspired, authoritative word and apply it to our lives. And God, we're going to need Holy Ghost boldness today to admit the problems that we might have. And we're going to need your convicting power to turn from it. And so, Lord, speak to us. This is a subject matter that affects everybody in the room. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. We're looking at sexual immorality this morning, and hopefully we're going to see folks get free from any kind of immorality. Now, The word most often used for sexual immorality in your Bibles is fornication. And that word literally, in the Greek language, that word is porneia. Can you guess what word we get the English word from that is? Pornography, right. But there is a panorama of porneia when it comes to this issue of sexual immorality. And I will tell you something, we live in a sex-crazed society. And I'm just going to say it up front, and I'm going to support everything by Scripture that we're talking about today. But brothers and sisters, all sexual activity outside of the bonds of a biblical marriage, whether it be physical or mental, is sin. Everything that we're looking at or lusting after with sexual material is sin. Same sex sin. Adultery is sin. Fornication, sex outside of marriage, is sin. Pornography is sin. And gender, the confusion over gender identity is sin. And anything that promotes gender confusion is sin. Okay? That's where we are as believers. And by the way, if you believe what I just said, the Bible is your worldview. You're not a bigot. You're not intolerant. You're not all these other, misogynist, you're not any of those things. You just have a different worldview because your beliefs and your behavior is based on the Word of God. Okay? That's where the disagreement comes in today. Are y'all with me so far? But I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Our nation is in bondage to sexual immorality. And God has turned us over to a depraved mind. For years, 50, 60 years, I'm old enough to remember, make love, not war. I mean, back in the 60s, as a kid, I remember. And so what we've been wanting for 60 years, God said, okay, if that's your desire, have at it. And that's why we got what we got. Okay? Is there any hope for those who struggle with addiction, sexual addiction and sexual immorality? Is there any hope for us? Absolutely. Do you remember the theme verse for this year? John 8, 32. What is it? You shall know the... And what will the truth do? Now, notice this. Jesus not only said the truth will set you free, but knowing the truth will set you free. And here's one truth. I want you to get this in your spirit today. I want you to get it in your heart. Every Christian, every believer ought to know this truth. And here it is. Are you ready? Three of you are ready. Are you ready? Here it is. Here it is. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you are born again, if you're saved, if you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so if you can get your head and your heart wrapped around that truth, brother, sister, your life's going to be radically transformed right here today. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look at your neighbor and tell them, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, that's the truth that we need to sell out to. And so somebody's going to get free today. Amen? So how do you get free from sexual addiction and sexual immorality? How do you get free from all this stuff? You got to know some things. You shall know the... And the truth will set you free. Okay? Y'all ready? Yeah. All right. I'm ready. I don't know if y'all are, but I'm ready. I've been chewing on this stuff for a week and a half. So here it is. Here's the first truth I want you to... the overarching, overriding truth that your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. The number one truth here is this. I'm on point number one. There is a spiritual presence in your body. There is a spiritual presence in your body. Look again at verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Watch this. Who is in you, who you have from God. When you got saved, you received the Holy Spirit. His Spirit lives in your spirit. You have the presence of Almighty God in you. Isn't that an amazing thing? We've talked about that from time to time up in here, hadn't we? You've got the Holy Spirit of God taking up residence in your life. When did you get Him? When you got saved. I believe that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. There's one faith and one baptism. Now, there's another sermon for another day. I believe in spiritual gifts. Okay? And so but when you got saved, you were baptized in the Spirit, into the body of Christ. And He came to take up residence in your life. And you've got His Spirit living in you. Woo! Now, if your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, when you think back to the Bible, what did people go to the temple to do? Four of you got it right. They went to the temple to do what? Worship. Somebody over here talk to me.
Worship.
That's right. And so today, the temple, our body, houses the Holy Spirit. And so in a real sense, our body is a place of worship. 24/7, your body, if you're a believer, is a place of worship. This is going to set somebody free. You thought you were coming for worship today? You should have brought your worship with you. Let me say it again over here. Some of y'all are still a little confused. When you got up and came to church, you thought you were coming for worship. No. Your worship came with you because you have His Spirit in you. Isn't that a good word? God is good. So, you have a spiritual presence in your body if you're born again. If you're in a relationship, now some of you all are not in a relationship with God. Your name may be on some church roll or something, but you're not saved because you don't have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9. If you've got the Spirit, you're His and He's in you. All right, let me say quickly two things. Went on too long about that. But anyways, let me say two things quickly about this spiritual presence. We ought to strive to be two things, holy and healthy. The Bible says, be ye holy even as I am holy. God expects us to live in a holy manner. And you have God's Spirit in you so you can do that. Isn't that great? Now, when it comes to holy living and healthy living, I think we treat the body in, there's two extremes, right? There's one extreme, folks in the church, it totally ignore their body. And they let it run down like an abandoned shack. I'm not being cute. I'm just speaking truth. And then there, on the other end of the extreme is there are folks in the church who idolize the body. And all they can do is think about their body and how they look. And how they treat the body. Y'all with me so far? Now, I'm all about... And so there's got to be balance in there somewhere, okay? And so, now this is a sanctuary, right? And back there's the war room. That's our prayer room. These are what you might call a holy place, right? Now, some Baptist churches are not holy places. All they do is fuss, fight, and argue. Bless God, how does that happen? I've got so many sermons in this one sermon. Oh my, just pray I'd get done on time, whatever that means. So, holiness. We treat this place, this sanctuary, with respect and reverence, don't we? Don't we do that? Well, what does that say about our body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit? We should treat our bodies with maintenance, care, love, respect, and reverence. Why? Because the Spirit of Almighty God is deep down in your spirit. We're to be holy. God expects us to live in a holy manner. And let me just say a quick word about a healthy body. Man, I'm learning. I should have done a better job of this on the front end. Amen. Some of us are eating ourselves, to an early grave with a fork. And some of us are smoking ourselves to death. By the way, if you're smoking, I'm not picking on smokers, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. If you're a heavy smoker, you're going to cut at least 10 years off of your life. And then there's a lot of other things we put in our bodies. I could go on and on about health. But your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're to treat our bodies with reverence, with respect, with care, concern, with love. Am I making myself sense? Am I making myself clear? Thank you. I've got so much to say, and it's just all running together up here. And that's why I tell you, don't come up to me any Sunday morning with vital information. Do not do that. All right, so there's the first truth that I want you to wrap your head around. We're to be holy and healthy. Our bodies are as best we can. We're to strive for that, okay? There is a spiritual presence in the body. Secondly, there was a sacrificial purchase of the body. Woo! A sacrificial purchase of the body. Look at verse 20. For you were, what's that next word? Say it again. At a price. At a price. God's Spirit lives within you because God's Son purchased you. He paid for your redemption. How'd He do that? I'm so glad y'all asked. Look at let me just read it to you. It'll take you a while to find 1 Peter probably. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 says this, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He bought you. He redeemed you out of the marketplace of sin, hell, death, and the grave with His precious, spotless, sinless blood. Jesus purchased you. There was a terrific price that He paid. He bought you. He purchased you. Now, having said that, is He getting His money's worth? You let that roll over in your spirit for just a minute. Is He getting His money's worth? He deserves to, because He gave His all for me and for you. But not only was there a terrific price that He paid, there was terrible pain that He endured. And all of that pain began in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says that He began to pray, was under such stress that He sweat great drops of blood. Hematidrosis is the medical term for that. And He was under so much stress. I believe He was close to having a cardiac arrest. So much so that the Father had to send an angel to strengthen Him. You remember that? And then this angry crowd, this vicious crowd, came and arrested Him and took Him down to the high priest's house and out in the courtyard while He was waiting to speak to the so-called religious leaders. They beat Him. They spit on Him. They plucked His beard out. They played a game called Blind Man's Bluff with Him and hit Him in the face with their fist. Another gospel account says they beat Him with bamboo rod. Isaiah said that they beat Him so badly that you couldn't even tell who He was. And then they placed a crown of thorns on His head and punctured His skull, and the blood began to flow. And then they took Him to a place of scourging, where a Roman lictor's lash was tiny bits of bone and metal and stone were sewn into the end of those three strands off one handle, leather whip. And man, when they hit you with that thing, you were tied to two posts and it almost knocked the breath out of you. And then when they pulled it off of you, it started ripping flesh. off. They hit him with that thing 39 times. And then they sent him outside of camp. He had to carry the cross on his back. And they laid him on the cross beam that he carried, and they nailed him with these huge nails between his wrists and his feet. Then they lifted that cross between heaven and earth, and it came to, and every joint in his body became dislocated. And he suffered greatly trying to get a breath on the cross. 6 hours hung there. But do you know what's the worst part of suffering that he went through? When the sins of humanity were poured out on the Lord, guess what? Every single sin that we've ever committed, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And the Father had to walk, turn his back away from the Son and walk away from him. For the first time in eternity history. And Jesus died out there on that old Skull Hill all by himself. There was the terrific price he paid and the terrible pain he endured. But there was, I want you to see this. It was a total possession that he obtained in all of this. Look again at verse 19. He says, "You are not your own, you were bought with a price." Back up to verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God?" And what's that next line there? "And you are not your own." He bought you. You're his. Those lungs of yours, they're not yours, they're his. Those eyes that he gave you, they're not yours, they're his. Those ears that he gave you, they're not yours, they're his. That mouth, that tongue that he got, they're not yours, they're his. And that body that he's purchased for you and bought you, there, it's his body. He owns you, lock, stock, and barrel. Have you ever thought about that? You're his possession. He's got you in the palm of his hand. And his spirit is deep down in your spirit. He owns you. By the way, I'd rather Jesus own me than the world own me. There was a sacrificial price of the body, a purchase of the body, rather. But I've said all of that this morning to say this. The third truth I want you to have is this, and this is huge. There's a special purpose for the body. There's a special purpose for the body. Look at verse 20. "For you were bought at a price, therefore." Anytime you come across that word, you ask this question. What is therefore? Therefore. Here it is. "Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Have you got it? There's a special purpose for the body. And it's to bring glory to God. Our bodies, our spirit, everything about us, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "And whatever you eat, whatever you drink, and whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." That's what we're to do, 24/7, bring glory to God. By the way, Isaiah 43:7 says this, "You were created for His glory." That was a high water mark for me when I realized that God created me for His glory. And then He purchased me for His glory. The reason God's Spirit lives within me is because God's Son purchased me. And because of that, I'm to live for the Father's glory. Y'all, this is pretty good teaching and preaching. Are y'all wrapping your hearts and your heads around this stuff? I know I've been dealing with it for 10 days. And you're just getting it right now. But the question we need to be asking ourselves is, does this bring glory to God? our eyes, the things we're looking at, should bring glory to God. The things we're hearing with our ears should bring glory to God. The things we're saying with our lips should bring glory to God. The things we're tasting with our mouth should bring glory to God. And the things we're doing with our bodies should bring glory to God. That is the first and last question. Does this bring glory to God? That's why you're here. That's why God created you. Look at your neighbor and say it. Glory to God. If He didn't want you to bring Him glory, you wouldn't be here. Right? So therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are whose? Yeah. Is it coming true for you? Now, let me just... Sexual immorality does not glorify God. Premarital sex, fornication does not glorify God. Adultery, extramarital sex, does not glorify God. Homosexuality, same sex, does not glorify God. Pornography, looking at sexual material and lusting after, does not glorify God. The transgender lifestyle does not glorify God. And if you're a believer, you're supposed to glorify God, and so am I. Now, I want you to look. I was talking about this with a couple of our church folks earlier in the week. And I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 6 and look at verse 9. And some of these and more are mentioned in Galatians, Ephesians. I believe there's some in Philippians. It's in Revelation. It's here in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, these sins that he lists, these are lifestyles. These sins are being practiced on a regular, routine basis. Okay? Y'all with me so far? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You see, a lifestyle like that gives evidence and points to the fact you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. Because if you've got the Holy Spirit of God in you, He is going to make your life miserable. Here's the good news. Listen to this good news. Verse 11. And such were some of you. Who's he speaking to here? He's the church. And so all these sexual sins have been around since day one. And he said, but hey, some of you all know what I'm talking about because you were right there yourself. Anybody got a witness this morning? Yeah, we all do. And such were some of you, but you were washed. Somebody say hallelujah. But you were sanctified. Somebody say glory to God. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There's hope in Jesus. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's hope for sexual addiction. But there is something very serious about sexual sin. Now, I didn't come up with this. This is what the Word of God says. There are great consequences. Now, all sin is sin. All sin is against God. But there's tremendous consequences for sexual sin. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, look at verse 16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? That's a reference to this one flesh thing, marriage, okay? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Evidently, there's some magical, mystical union when the human spirit connects with the Holy Spirit. And they become one spirit. Isn't that good? You're one spirit with the Lord. Now watch this. Look at verse 18. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. That's about the only time you read about that in the Scriptures. There is something very serious about sexual sin, because you're in this one spirit relationship, and you're in this one flesh relationship with your spouse if you're married. And you see, it kills that. It breaks. Can you imagine when sexual immorality happens to a believer and the Holy Spirit experiences that? The horror, the hurt, the harm that the Holy Spirit experiences when that believer that's been paid for and bought and purchased. The Holy Spirit is grieved when that happens. And by the way, let me say this. That's why pornography is so dangerous. Because any sexual material that we're looking at or involved with, Jesus said in Matthew 5:27-28, if anyone looks at another and begins to lust after them, they have already committed adultery. Did you hear what I just said? Spiritual immorality. Physical immorality. Whew. It's all the same stuff. Now, is there any hope for us? Yeah, there's hope. You've already heard a little something about that. But let me say this. There's a command that needs to be followed. Did y'all catch it? Look at verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Flee. What does that mean? It means run like a scared dog. When you're under temptation with any kind of sexual immorality, I don't care what it is, get out of there. Run. And yet what we want to do is we just kind of want to kind of hang around in that, you know. And listen, you'll never eat the devil's apples if you'll get out of his orchard. Don't allow yourself to get under that temptation. This is one of the strongest sins in the Bible that the Scriptures talks about. And the reference here is, get out of there. Run. Flee. I wish that's what old King David had done when he was standing up there on the palace rooftop when he should have been out to war. And he looks down there and there's this drop-dead gorgeous girl taking a bath. Ooh. But you see, he just stood there and he kept looking. And the next thing you know, yeah, flee. I think about old Joseph. Remember that story? Him and Mrs. Potiphar. I'd like to know what her name is or was. But every day, the Bible says Joseph was a good-looking, handsome, well-built dude. Y'all got me? Guys, you don't get it, but your girls do. And day after day, the Bible says that she tempted him with sexual sin. Every day. And all the servants are out of the house. The boss man, Mr. Big Stuff, Teddy, he was gone. And one day she just comes up to him and says, oh, honey, I can't stand it any longer. And she grabs him. Come on, we're going to the back room. It's going to be good. And Joseph got scared to death. And he said, how can I do this and sin against my God? And he ran right out of his coat. Remember that? Well, that's what we need to do when we're tempted with this stuff. And by the way, the Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counselors. I want to tell you, sexual addiction is real. Same-sex attraction is real. Pornography, addiction is real. And it's a struggle for people. I'm a pastor. I hear about this stuff all the time. And I used to be a young male. And I used to know about this stuff, all right? Some of you guys my age may, you know, whatever. But we've got two trained Christian counselors out at the Cumberland Baptist Association office, and they can help you with that. One of the greatest ministries in Southern Baptist life is called Celebrate Recovery. And you can get help for any and all addiction. Get some counseling. There's strength in numbers. Pull together. And so that's the command of Scripture. Flee. Get out of there. Run. And pull a believer in with you and say, man, pray for me. Now, don't go tell some gossip or everybody will, you know. Does that make sense? So, I've given you the truth this morning. There is a spiritual presence in your body if you're a believer. And there was a sacrificial purchase that was made for your body by none other than the Lord Jesus. And there is a special purpose for your body to bring glory to God. And I want to tell you what would glorify God. Some of us need to get set free this morning. Guys, can we just take our mask off? Probably 75 to 80% of us struggle with pornography. Hello. I know that because I was in a chapel service 28, 29 years ago. And those ministers in training were all, and this was before the internet, and they were all struggling with pornography. That was a long time ago. I wonder what it is now. We need to get clean. And the way to get clean is to come to Jesus. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, I know with this unbelievable subject matter, that it's going to be hard for people to come clean about this publicly or come into an altar to confess and turn. And I understand that. But God, if we had an altar full this morning, surely that would be the beginning of Holy Ghost revival. And so, Lord, I pray that you would touch our spirit, touch our heart right now, and recognize that we are here to bring glory to God. And that we all need help. We all need help. Maybe there's folks struggling here with their gender. Or maybe there's some folks here that are struggling with same-sex attraction. And I know there's a lot of folks here that are struggling with pornography because it's so prevalent. And maybe there's a sexual immorality issue going on in a family right now. God, you're the only one that can forgive all sin. And you're the only one that can cleanse us and wash us and make us right. And so, God, I pray in my spirit, with the Holy Spirit, that you would set my brothers and my sisters free today. But that involves admitting something and taking action. And so, God, would you do what only you can do? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to keep the lights down low while we sing. But maybe there's somebody in your family. Or maybe it's you. Or it doesn't matter. Whatever God's saying to you, you do. Let's all stand and you come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.